This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
The music in this podcast is shorter than the original broadcast for rights reasons.
Are you feeling the seasonal blues? Join me, Claire Sisk, and my lovely co-host, Paulina, for a dose of happiness and well-being to brighten up those cold and dark months.
When you're brushing your teeth, stand on one leg. And if you do that every day, it really helps with your balance.
I have a cuddle with my kitten. She just makes my heart rate go down and she's just cuddly and lovely.
I really enjoy using air dry clay. I find it very calming and it helps me connect and ground back to reality.
We have sunny tracks, interesting facts, funny news stories and plenty of light-hearted chat.
Try eating in the deck chair. Good
Try luck. Getting out of it. That is the problem. My legs are all over the place trying to swing myself out of a deck chair. I need a hoist. Boost your day with the happy hour, Mondays at 1 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 6 p.m, and Sundays at 10 a.m. Only on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
You're listening to me, Jonathan Ebro, on RNIB Connect Radio. Welcome to a festive edition of my travels. You'll be joining me on a multi-stop tour of a whole variety of countries and cities and experiences as I travel the world despite being blind as a result of retinitis pigmentosa. Instead of being behind the scenes and taking on all my recordings, I have the pleasure of bringing Amelia in today, who's going to have a chat with me about some of my travels. Welcome, Amelia. How lovely to have you on the show with me today.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me, and very happy new year to you.
Wishing you a very happy new year. I hope that the year ahead will be fun and perhaps even filled with travels for yourself.
Yes, thank you. You always inspire me to consider some new locations. And now that we're kind of relaxing after a busy festive period, what's the most relaxing holiday you've ever been on?
As I'm sure you quite expect, there's never going to be just a one answer to that question, or probably any of your travel questions you've got for me. I think one of those would have to be our first experience of an all-inclusive holiday, which was in the Dominican Republic one year. What an amazing experience that was, starting the day with these exotic fruit buffets with our breakfast and then moving on to a lounger for the day and having people wandering around offering us cold water whenever we wanted it. Later on in the evening, we would be sipping on Caribbean cocktails before dining wherever we decided to dine in the resort that night. So it was a whole new experience for us and very relaxing. Another one would be when we went on the Queen Mary 2 from Southampton to New York. Now, that is truly forced relaxation. We spent each day enjoying lectures or going to the gym to prepare for the most incredible afternoon teas of homemade scones and cucumber sandwiches. And then, of course, the Queen Mary has the largest floating library in the world. We did have a little bit of exhilaration on that trip, which was that we had force 12 winds, so the seas were really high and rough. But the Queen Mary 2 was a really stable ship, so we could enjoy the forces of nature without feeling too bad. Just for one more option of a relaxing holiday was going to Rhodes in Greece, where our hotel was just a 20-minute walk away from the old town. So we could have a really good mix of going to the beach or going and learning some history. And in amongst all of that, of course, the obligatory eating of ice cream.
Yeah, I love hearing about the different tasty treats that you've enjoyed on your travels. And speaking of relaxing and having some nice cocktails and reading a lovely book, our next track is Rupert Holmes with Escape.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed.
That was Escape, in honour of your many relaxing holidays, Jonathan. And next on the Travelogue Festive Special, we'll change modes from relaxing to the most scary or exciting holiday experience you've had. What comes to mind?
I guess let's start with the scary, and that would have to be crossing the border from Costa Rica to Nicaragua late at night. We were meant to be crossing during the day, but our bus driver somehow managed to get himself lost. And by the time we got to the border crossing, there was hardly anybody there. And the area between the Costa Rican border and the next town is well known to be bandit country. So we had a bit of a nail-biting ride in a taxi getting through the whole area and getting ourselves to the next town. And I have to tell you that we breathed a huge sigh of relief when I got to our hostel, and the beer that night could not have been better. In terms of exhilarating, though, I couldn't just have one. There have been so many, and I had so much more fun talking about. We've been whitewater rafting in Colombia, where we went on level 6 rapids, the highest level you can go in a raft, and we saw just how dangerous it can be when one of the other rafts flipped over on one of the rapids. Thankfully, we all followed the high side left or high side right commands of our leader, and we made it through all the rapids unscathed. That was truly exhilarating. Ziplining in Copper Canyon was another one, which I've spoken about before on one of our travelogues together, and going at over 100 kilometers an hour, flying through the air on 7 different zip lines, high up above the canyon floor. Wow, just so exciting. Another one was flying in a helicopter over the Drakensberg Mountains of South Africa, where we were going flying up over the mountains and hills and then going diving down into the valleys below. It was quite something. I've never been on a helicopter ride like that before. And it would be remiss of me not to talk about one of my favorite roller coasters ever, and that was called Dododompa in Japan, which at the time was the fastest accelerating roller coaster in the world. It kind of went from standstill to flying in a matter of a couple of seconds. That was quite something to feel.
I love the name. I think that's one of my favorite titles of a travelogue you've done ever.
Yes, it is. And the whole experience of that with the lights and the music and the guys over the PA shouting out, Dododompa, and oh, what fun. I guess my one other truly exhilarating ride was being shot up the needle on the top of the Stratosphere Hotel in Las Vegas, which is the highest ride in the world and over 390 meters above the ground. Strapped to the ride on the edge of this needle and being shot straight up without any warning. So everybody screamed. It didn't matter what you wanted to do.
Did you start as a thrill seeker before you started traveling so much, or is that something that's come with kind of pushing yourself more and going to lots of different locations?
I don't even know if I'm a thrill seeker. I just love travel. I love rides. Roller coasters to me are such fun. I mean, to be able to go to a roller coaster park in Japan or anywhere in the world for that matter. And I haven't been to too many. I've been to a few roller coaster places around the world, but I think perhaps in the year ahead, I need to see if I can go and do some roller coaster riding. But, well, I guess you could call me a bit of a thrill seeker, given that I've jumped out of aeroplanes, ridden rapids and all the other things. So, yeah, it's a thanks for the new title.
I think you definitely qualify. And to honour all of your exhilarating experiences, our next song on RNIB Connect Radio is The Pointer Sisters with I'm So Excited. I'm so excited here on the Travelogue Festive Special. And now, Jonathan, we'll jump back into some of your travels. What do you think has been the biggest confidence-building holiday for you?
Gosh, Amelia, I guess every time I go on a trip, no matter what it is, I feel boosted in confidence because I'm proving to myself that I can do it. And that's never the reason I set out to go traveling, but I do take pride in the fact that I'm able to go off, sometimes at really short notice, to go on an adventure or a holiday of some sort. And the other part of that is the people that I meet or people that I just don't know and who want to make a difference to me. Many times I've had strangers take my arm just because they see me approaching some stairs or some sort of a obstacle and help me through it, often without words because there's a language barrier. And at the end of it, that'll be that. I'll pat them on the shoulder, say thank you in their language if I can, in English if I can't. But that's all that needs to be done. And I think for me, while some people who are blind or visually impaired may feel that that's getting in their space or taking away their independence, I take it as the complete opposite, because for me, somebody has taken the time to come and just make sure that I'm okay. And for me, that's great. I feel that human kindness is just amazing. I once went into a bakery in Cuba, and the only way you could actually buy anything from this bakery was using your ration book. The lady behind the counter saw me and my white cane, and she gave me a bag of bread rolls, touched her heart, and said in Spanish that this was for me because she could see that I couldn't see. And I just thought, wow, isn't that truly, truly amazing? Another time where people made me feel even better than I was feeling already, I was climbing, there's a mountain in Machu Picchu called Huanu Picchu. And when we went in, the guard asked Annie, are you sure about taking this blind guy up Huanu Picchu? I don't want to have to call in a helicopter to bring you back. Fortunately, we had enough Spanish to have this whole conversation in Spanish because he didn't speak English. And Annie assured him that, no, I was quite capable. That was already confidence boosting. But while we were climbing the mountain, a group of people who were coming down stood aside for us to pass. And one of the ladies said just one word that made my day unbelievably good. That one word was respect. It's amazing what an impact words can have on you. When we climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, everyone on the mountain, from porters and guides to strangers and the chefs of each of our guides, they were all so encouraging. And in fact, they all sang happy birthday to me because it was my 50th birthday when we were at base camp. I mean, you can't ask for being more boosted in your confidence than having something like that happen to you. So for me, it's all about trying new things. If you're up to it, going beyond your limits, trying new things, and knowing that whatever you try, want to do, people are out there who want to support you and make sure that you have a great time. And I think we should embrace that sort of help whenever it comes along, because it makes days so much better.
For people that just want to dip their toe into traveling, maybe in a slightly more local place independently, is there one key piece of advice that you'd share?
I think I would say, give it a go. Prepare. There is so much information on the internet, so do some reading and ask questions, whether you're asking someone you're traveling with, or the place where you're going to stay, or even, hey, send an email into the RNIB and get them to send it on to me. You never know, I might be able to answer it for you. Our next song on RNIB Connect Radio is Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. Because while we were climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, that's what my guide and I sang all the way up the mountain, because it was just a way of keeping ourselves happily motivated, and we got all the way to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro with that song.
I used to think maybe you love me, now baby I'm sure.
Very uplifting track for us there, Katrina and the Waves, here on RNIB Connect Radio. We have more travel adventures and great music after this.
Hi, I'm Toby Davey, and do join me for a special festive episode of Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio with award-winning blind storyteller and performer Adam Lynn, as Adam takes us on a musical journey through some of his favourite tracks that have marked important moments in his life.
I never missed any school, Toby. I went blind, essentially, and went that summer to the UK, kind of got my feet under me, went back to the US, and kept going in school, learning Braille and learning how to use a cane, and kept going one foot in front of the other.
So do join me for Tracks of My Life with Adam Lin here on RNIB Connect Radio on Tuesday, the 30th of December at 8 p.m, repeated on Friday, the 2nd of January at 8 p.m, and again on Sunday, the 4th of January at 10 p.m.
On Freeview Channel 730, online and on smart devices, this is RNIB Connect Radio.
You're listening to the Festive Travelogue Special here on RNIB Connect Radio. So, Jonathan, you've met many wonderful people on your travels, both in passing and spending longer periods of time with them. But who stands out as the most memorable character from your journeys?
Oh, Amelia, that's so easy. His name is Danny. He's Danny from Toronto. And we met him when we were staying at a hostel in Paraguay in 2011. What a standout moment that was for me on all my travels. Here was a man who is 20 years my senior, backpacking around the same places I was backpacking around. And the two of us had the same love for photography, still do. I sadly can no longer see my camera and occasionally take photos using my smartphone and voiceover. But Danny and I struck a chord and became really close friends. We're still exactly the same today. And along with Annie, the three of us have met up over the years whenever we can, usually in London because Danny's on some other trip going somewhere else and able to stop off in London. But hopefully there'll be a time where we get to meet up in some other far-flung place. He really is a wise old man, although he'd probably give me a bit of a telling off for calling him old. But wise he certainly is. And some of the words that he's said in his advice to me over the years have been really special, meaningful, and important. And I really hope that one day when I'm older, I can be like Danny and, regardless of my age, carry on backpacking around the world, staying in hostels, and just doing what I love to do, travel.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've gained so much wisdom from all of your different trips, and you share some of the ways that you plan trips and the questions that you ask in travelogues. But what are some of the key lessons you've learned about traveling with sight loss?
I think for me, Amelia, it's that you have to believe in yourself. You have to learn to trust people, and you have to understand that although it's wonderful traveling, there will be times that it will be tough, and you have to accept that, live with it, and move on through it. But mostly it's wonderful. And I have had, as you know from all of the travelogues we've recorded together, the most incredible travels. I think the first and biggest lesson I ever had around trust especially was in Tiger Leaping Gorge in China, where it took longer than planned to walk to our hostel for the night. It started getting dark, then it started raining and pouring, and it got pitch black. And I couldn't see a thing. This was my first understanding of what it was like to be blind. And so I had to hold my guide's hand in front of me and Annie's hand behind me. And I had to trust that they would lead me the way that I needed to be and that I would be able to manage what they told me to do. In fact, when we got to the hostel, it was the only time that I learned that they had not told me that I would be walking across a very narrow bridge, across a raging torrent of water. The level of relief that I felt when I got to the hostel that night was immense. And I was scared and I was worried and all of the fears, having a long drop down on the one side of the path I was walking along, getting to the end of all of that, oh, what a relief that was. And they came along with a cup of tea, which was gratefully accepted, and they put us in a special room for the night to try and make sure that I was okay and comfortable, because our guide told everybody about what had happened. So I learned that my trust in people at times will be one of the most important things that I need to be willing to accept, because being blind and wanting to travel means that there are times that I need help, and I'm going to accept it so that I can carry on traveling. Something else that I've learned is people love to help. I've said this many times before. So giving people the opportunity, one of those was when we were in Borneo going jungle tracking and traveling through the jungles of Borneo. And Annie, because of my love for photography, told me about a man who had this huge camera. So I went across and explained to the man that I'm blind and that I'd love to know about his camera. And he let me explore it, and I felt this giant camera. It had a mega ultra zoom. I don't know what the technical specifications for it were, but it was so big a zoom and such a heavy camera that it came with its own chest harness that he had to wear to keep the camera stable. Having gone over and spoken to him myself and explained my blindness meant that every time we landed up in the same place as that man throughout the rest of our trip, all he wanted to do was explain things to me and describe things to me. And I thought that was just such a lovely way of him helping me and perhaps me helping him a little bit, because all of a sudden he understood what it was like to travel through the jungles of Borneo without actually being able to see them. So I guess, Amelia, traveling as a blind or a visually impaired person is all about finding the ways that work best for you, finding the way that surroundings, sights, and people come to life for you, and how best to make it as special a journey as you are hoping for it to be.
Well, speaking of great people, Harry Styles is here next, telling us to treat people with kindness.
I got a good feeling, I'm just taking it all.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's me, Jonathan Abreu. I'm speaking with Amelia today, and we're talking about bits and pieces about all my different travels. Really, Amelia's asking me questions, and I just get to talk about my favourite topics.
That's a perfect segue into the next question. What is a song that reminds you of a particular trip or a particular special memory?
We've often spoken about our 388-day epic backpacking adventure through South and Central America. And so often answers will come from that time, and this is no exception. Bob Marley's Three Little Birds has got to be one of those songs that just brings back the most fabulous memories. It was all in Mexico, starting in the highlands of San Cristobal de las Casas, which was this beautiful town and surrounded by nature and just fantastic. From there, we went by bus as we traveled through most of our journey. We stayed in a hostel there called the Butterfly Hostel, and next door to that was a bar where there was a man who really believed he was the next Bob Marley. Every single night he gave us a concert of Bob Marley. He was awful. But the music, I just love Bob Marley. I always have since being a child. And so we had Bob Marley on the mind a lot during that part of our trip. And as we moved on from Puerto Escondido to Oaxaca, the food capital of Mexico, later then heading off into the incredible Mexico City and on to one of my many favorite places in the world, Copper Canyon of Mexico. Bob Marley really was a highlight of that part of the trip.
And I bet Bob Marley sounds even better for having heard him be performed very badly.
You can well believe that. I certainly do have Bob Marley on my phone, and I prefer listening to that rather than the, shall we say, attempt at a concert from this man.
Well, here is Bob Marley with Three Little Birds. We'll talk world-class food in this Travelogue festive special right after this.
Love getting lost in a great audiobook? Then don't miss Read On, the audiobook show with me, Robert Kirkwood, on RNIB Connect Radio. Each week, I'll bring you the latest audiobook releases, in-depth interviews with top authors and narrators, and hand-picked recommendations of new books in the RNIB library for blind and partially sighted listeners. From gripping thrillers to heartwarming memoirs, there's something for every book lover.
I'm really delighted that that access has been widened with the Braille and audio versions.
I know for me as a voracious reader, when I lost the vision in one eye, the first thing I thought was like, how am I going to read books?
Part of that enjoyment comes from listening to cracking good stories, not through the eyes, but through the ears.
New episode of Read On every Friday at 1 p.m. on RNIB Connect Radio, or listen anytime, anywhere as a podcast. Just search for RNIB Read on your favourite podcast app.
Across the UK for blind and partially sighted people, this is RNIB Connect Radio.
We're continuing our globe-trotting on today's Travelogue Festive Special, and it's time for our favourite topic, Jonathan, food. I think the food item you've mentioned that stands out to me is the crisp apple ice cream you had on a mountaintop in Japan. What are some of the other most memorable meals or treats?
You're making my mouth drool just thinking about that. And in fact, that would have to be up there. I think I'm going to give you two different sides of the world when we come to food, because I think there is so much everywhere we go that food is such an important part of travel and life. And for me especially, you know, being blind, food is an integral part of travel, because no matter where we go, everywhere has a local delicacy or a local food. I might not always eat them. For example, we'll start in Mexico again, this time in Oaxaca, and in a market where grasshoppers and crickets were on offer. I passed on that. Not my scene. But something else that they make in Oaxaca is called mole. It's a chocolate kind of sauce, but it's spicy. And it goes well with everything. We had it on a type of a Mexican pizza. It's a flatbread rather than a dough like a normal pizza. Just a flatbread with vegetables on it. And the lady was so keen to explain the different moles to me, she gave us a taste of each of the different ones to have with this food. So there was the not so spicy, the little more spicy, and the very spicy, which was delicious. Also in Oaxaca, hot chocolate. Now, with mole, each person and each family, they have their own bunch of ingredients that they like to have when they make their mole sauce. But they have to go and buy them somewhere. We found a place where they mixed all of these ingredients together, and they let us explore the machinery that they did it with, and then we ordered our hot chocolate. Well, the man stood there lovingly stirring this hot chocolate until the chocolate melted, and it was piping hot. And on top of the cup, he put a big chunk of white bread that you were supposed to dip into the hot chocolate as you were enjoying it. Oh, takes me back in a heartbeat. Heading off to the other side of the world, exactly where you just said, Japan. Now, before I went to Japan, I used to enjoy eating sushi, and my favorites were salmon and tuna sushi. They still are. The first time we had sushi was in the city of Kagoshima, which is in the far southwest of Japan. And I can truly say that you don't know sushi until you've eaten sushi in Japan. I mean, I still eat sushi in London and in various places around the world. And as long as I don't compare it to that first and many meals thereafter of sushi in Japan, I'm okay. But the moment I send my mind wandering back, especially to Kagoshima, there is nothing like it. We dined for two nights in a row at the same sushi bar, a tiny little place, where we were the only Westerners, and we absolutely adored it. I will have to say that Japan, when it comes to soft serve ice cream, I don't think there's anywhere better. And you're right, that green apple ice cream, as I brought it towards my face, the smell of that crisp green apple. Oh, I think it's time to go for an ice cream, Amelia.
Yes, we will talk about our options for ice cream eating as we listen to our next track. Here is Japanese Breakfast.
Orlando in love. Ride 69 cantos for melancholy brunettes and sad women.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we'll return to the globe-trotting adventures of Jonathan Abrow. Jonathan, what has been the most unusual mode of transport that you've ever been on?
Well, I would have to go back a long way in my travels, Amelia, because I went to Malawi back in the 1980s, and we travelled up Lake Malawi in a, well, I wouldn't say quite a rust bucket, but it wasn't the most stable of ferries, shall we say.
It's not passing health and safety regulations.
No, definitely not. Those didn't exist in those days. Certainly not there anyway. We travelled all along the lake and had a number of stops, and we then wanted to go on to the outpost called Livingstonia. Now, to get to Livingstonia, you have to travel up a dirt road with 20 hairpin bends, and it's steep. So it's not something to just take a walk up the hill kind of thing. We didn't have any transport of our own, and it was quite difficult to hitchhike and get a ride up until a tractor stopped. The guy driving the tractor had a trailer, and on the trailer were rolls of wire fencing. He motioned to the trailer and said, "Hop on." So we did. I would say that that is possibly one of the most strange forms of transportation that I've been on, because who would actually, like you say, given today's world of health and safety, allow you to sit on a tractor trailer on top of rolls of wire? And if he'd been going any faster, we probably would have rolled out of the back of it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stressful in many different ways, whether you're going to fall off or get stabbed by the wire that you're sitting on. So definitely not luxurious.
No, certainly not.
Well, as we calm down after hearing about that encounter, we will listen to another song. In honour of your tractor taxi, here is Joni Mitchell with Big Yellow Taxi.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got?
We're continuing our travel adventures here on RNIB Connect Radio with Jonathan Abrow, and we're shortly approaching our last song. But before that, Jonathan, you've been to so many different places around the world, but what are some adventures that you would still love to do?
Well, it's a never-ending list that just keeps growing and growing. But something I read about recently was going on an icebreaker ship in the Arctic Ocean, putting on a dry suit and swimming in the Arctic waters. I'd like to do that, so that's definitely up there. There are so many other things I'd like to do as well. I think driving a supercar at high speed along a long, flat airstrip would be quite something to do. And as someone who's ridden horses, I haven't ridden for quite a while, but I really do enjoy horse riding. So perhaps going into one of the stands, Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan, and riding a horse across the desert or part of the desert would be quite something, or finding a remote beach in another country somewhere, going horse riding there. That really does appeal to me. Another thing that appeals to me in terms of travels, not just a particular event, is I'd very much like to go to South Korea. Having enjoyed Japan so much, I'd like to head back towards the Far East, and South Korea is somewhere else that does fascinate me because there is so much of interest and intrigue there. And the other great part about South Korea is that if I can make it a longer trip, I could catch a ferry from South Korea to Japan and go and spend a bit of time in the onsens back in Japan, which to me are the most wonderful, relaxing and enjoyable pastime of doing absolutely nothing in a hot spring bath. So there are just a few. I think if you gave me a few minutes, I'd probably come up with an even longer list, Amelia, but let's end on that.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you again on the lunch break. You can tune in every weekday with Hubert Pavalkovich from 12 noon to 1 p.m. For now, though, it's been so wonderful to ask you questions. Thanks so much for having me on, Jonathan.
Amelia, it's been such a pleasure being able to speak with you rather than just having you listen in the background and make sure that everything works as brilliantly as it has over the past year or so. So I want to say a huge thank you to you, Amelia, and wish you a very happy new year. And may 2026 be an incredible year for everybody. And don't forget, there are lots of other festive specials for you to listen to. So head on over to the RNIB Connect radio station website and check out the full schedule. I'll be back soon to tell you more about my travels around the globe. And as you head into the news headlines, I'll leave you with a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself,